Okay, let's get into it. Today, we're diving into something that kind of started as a bit of a programmer meme, didn't it?
Yeah, this whole vibe coding idea.
Exactly. Like you just let the AI write all the code while you, I don't know, kick back and relax. Andrzej Karpathy's tweet about it really seemed to capture that feeling.
It definitely got people talking. Painted a picture that sounds maybe almost too easy.
Right, because what the source material we looked at shows is that vibe coding, or maybe effective AI-assisted development, it's not passive at all.
Not in the slightest. It's actually a very deliberate process, structured.
Structured how? The sources talk about huge productivity gains, right? Like potentially 10x.
They do, yeah. But only if you're smart about it.
Yeah.
You have to use the AI's strength, but also critically build in ways to guard against its weaknesses. And it definitely has
Okay,
weaknesses.
so think of it like the AI is super fast at generating stuff, but it doesn't actually know anything, like context or judgment.
Exactly. It lacks that deep understanding. So you're not just delegating,
Yeah.
you're orchestrating. The source uses the analogy of a conductor. You guide this powerful, but sometimes slightly clueless orchestra.
I like that. So our mission for this deep dive is to get past the meme, past the hype, and figure out the method. What are the actual practices, the infrastructure you need? What's the mindset shift required to actually ship real code, like day in and day out with AI helping? What do these sources tell us?
Well, the material digs into practices that were apparently honed over months of actual use. It's trying to offer a pragmatic way to make AI assistance, a normal part of the workflow, not just a novelty. It covers specific ways to interact with the AI, essential rules, guardrails, and the kind of setup you need.
Right, let's start with those interaction patterns. The source calls them modes of operation, I think. Describes three different ways you might work with AI. First one is the playground.
Yeah, the playground. This is all about speed,
Yeah.
experimentation. It's
Yeah.
for those low stakes things, right?
Like a weekend hackathon project or just whipping up a quick personal script.
Exactly. Or maybe a proof of concept you just want to try out fast. In this mode, yeah, the AI might write like 80, maybe even 90% of the code.
The classic, I wonder if I can get AI to build me a little tool for X scenario. You throw a simple prompt at it, maybe point it at a file or two. Quick and dirty code.
Speed is the name of the game there. But, and this is important, the source is very clear. Playground mode is not for production code.
Right. Don't do cowboy coding in prod.
Definitely not. That approach, while fine for exploring, will absolutely bite you if you try to push it live. Good engineering discipline still matters, even when you're just playing around.
Makes sense. So when the stakes get higher, when you're building something real, you need more structure. Which brings us to mode two, pair programming.
This is where the source suggests the AI becomes more like a genuine partner. It sees this as the sweet spot for most everyday development.
Like building smaller services, adding features, working on projects maybe under, what, 5,000 lines of code?
Something like that, yeah. This is where AI can really speed things up, but it needs deliberate guidance.
And a key technique for that guidance, mentioned prominently, is using a claudioad.md file. What's the deal with that? Why is it so important?
This is a game changer, according to the source. Instead of trying to stuff all your projects, rules, conventions, architecture notes, how to test things, the whole philosophy.
Into every single prompt. Yeah, that sounds tedious.
Exactly. You write it down once in this dedicated markdown file, then you set up the AI tool to automatically pull this file into its context for every interaction.
So it's not just documentation that sits there unread. It's like a living constitution for your project that the AI actually uses.
Precisely. It helps the AI understand the rules of the road for your specific project. Massively improves the quality and relevance of what it generates because it's grounded in your code base's reality.
Okay, that's clever.
And along with claudioad.md, the source also pushes for using anchor comments right inside the code.
These are like special comments, a dev note, or a dev to do. Things meant specifically for the AI.
That's it. They're not just for humans. They're directives, hints, context clues placed strategically to stop the AI from, say, making bad assumptions or wandering off track.
So they guide it through tricky parts or point it to specific areas that need attention.
Yeah, and they double as useful markers for human devs, too.
So it sounds like you're not just saying, "Hey, AI, fix this." You're being much more specific. Look here, remember the rules from claudioad.md and make changes based on these anchor comments. You're structuring its thinking.
Exactly. You're actively shaping its work.
Right.
And that need for structure, it gets even more critical in the third mode, production monorepo scale.
Right, this is the big leagues. Large, complex code bases, lots of moving parts, real users depending on it. The source is pretty blunt here, isn't it? It says naive vibe coding just doesn't cut it at this scale. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, trying to just drop AI-generated code into a huge, intricate system, it's really, really hard. The risk of breaking things, unintended side effects,
yeah,
it's high.
You need a deep understanding of the existing system to even guess what might happen.
Totally. So AI can still be helpful here, but the human oversight needed is intense. The source uses an analogy. The AI isn't really a peer programmer here. It's more like a brilliant intern.
Encyclopedic knowledge, but still needs constant, careful supervision from the lead architect, the human.
Pretty much. It takes significant human effort to safely figure out what the AI did, understand it, and integrate it without causing problems. Those guardrails we talked about, Kala, UBEMD, anchor comments, they become absolutely non-negotiable.
Okay, stepping back a bit from the modes, the source also gets into core principles, infrastructure, things you need regardless of the mode. And one interesting point is how this changes Git workflows.
Right, because AI can generate code so fast, right? If you're not careful, your Git history can become this huge mess of half-baked experiments, failed attempts.
Making it impossible to debug or understand how the code actually evolved.
Exactly. So the recommendation is to use isolated Git work trees for the AI stuff.
Like a temporary sandbox.
Yeah. Create a separate workspace, let the AI go nuts in there, iterate, run tests. And only when you have something polished and working do you cherry pick those specific commits back into your main branch.
Keeps the main history clean and understandable. Separates the messy experimentation from the real code base history.
And another key Git practice they mention is transparency in commit messages.
Ah, tagging commits. Like putting AI in the message if the AI did a lot of the work.
Precisely. Something like AI implemented user auth flow. It signals to everyone, including future you, that AI played a big part. Maybe if, say, over 50% of the code came from the AI.
Helps reviewers know what to look for, helps with debugging later, gives it provenance.
Right, and it helps normalize using AI within the team. Makes it less of a hidden thing.
Speaking of teams and guardrails, the source really hammers home one rule, calls it the sacred rule.
Oh yeah, this one's the big one. Non-negotiable. Humans write the tests. Full stop.
Never let the AI write your tests.
No.
Why is that specific area guarded so fiercely?
Because tests aren't just code that runs. They are your specification. They're your documentation. They capture all that hard-won knowledge about the domain, the edge cases, the critical business logic.
Things the AI just doesn't know.
Exactly. They can write tests that pass for the obvious happy path. But it will almost certainly miss the subtle, tricky cases, the things that actually break in production.
The source had that great example, right?
Yeah.
A simple rate limiter function.
Yeah. The AI wrote plausible code, even wrote some basic tests that passed, looked okay on the surface, but any human familiar with, say, distributed systems would immediately ask, okay, what if requests hit at the exact same time? How does the state sync up across different servers? The AI's simple in-memory approach would fall apart instantly in the real world.
A critical flaw its basic tests completely miss.
Right. The AI's tests check the syntax, the trivial stuff, not the intent, not the real-world constraints. Letting AI write your tests. The source calls that a career-limiting mistake.
Wow.
Because you bypass human understanding, you erode test discipline, and you bake in these hidden, dangerous bugs.
And the sacred ground, it extends beyond just tests, right?
It does. The source says be extremely careful or just avoid letting AI handle things like database migrations.
Easy to corrupt data there.
Right. Or security critical code, obviously. API contracts.
Because breaking changes are expensive.
Yep. And configuration or secrets management. Anything where a mistake is really costly or dangerous. These things need human thought, domain knowledge, careful review.
It really drives home that idea. AI is great for implementation, maybe the grunt work, but the design, the critical thinking, the validation, that has to stay human.
Absolutely. And working effectively with the AI also means managing context carefully.
The prompt engineering part.
Yeah.
Token limits and all that. I liked the analogy in the source about being stingy with context.
Right.
Like only putting half a tank of gas in your car to save money.
Yeah, it's counterproductive.
Yeah.
You waste time and effort going back and forth. You need to give the AI enough relevant information to do its job properly in one go.
Which means focused prompts, maybe summarizing large files instead of just dumping everything in.
Exactly. Manage the diffs you show it. Minimal context doesn't mean incomplete context. It means relevant context, but enough of it for the task at hand. The source shows a great contrast, a starved prompt for a caching task versus one that includes the system goals and architecture. The results are night and day.
And the one task, one session rule seems smart too, starting fresh if you switch topics.
Yeah, like using a clean cutting board. Prevents the AI from getting confused by leftover context from a totally different task. Simple discipline, better results.
The source also walked through a pretty compelling case study, refactoring error handling across a huge code base.
Yeah, something like 500 plus endpoints. Mm. The key there was that the humans did the hard upfront work. They defined the standard way errors should be handled, the philosophy, the exact data format needed. Mm. They put it all in a spec.md file.
Like this fladdeu.md idea, but for a specific task.
Right. Then, only then, they use the AI Claude, in this case for the repetitive part, applying that specification mechanically across hundreds of endpoints.
And the AI was good at that.
It excelled, precisely because the humans gave it such clear, structured instructions.
And the result.
Dramatic. What would have taken humans days of tedious work apparently took about 4 hours. That's the kind of 10x boost they're talking about.
Where the human defines the what and the why very clearly, mm-hmm. and the AI handles the how for those well-defined, maybe boring tasks.
That's the pattern. And making this work also means changes in, you know, leadership and team culture.
How so?
Well, the role of a senior engineer changes a bit. It's not just about writing code anymore. It's also about directing the AI, setting standards, and teaching the rest of the team how to use these tools safely and effectively.
And that transparency we talked about, the AI commit tags, that feeds into the culture shift. Remove stigma, makes it okay to talk about using these tools.
Exactly. It fosters an environment where people can learn together. And even onboarding needs to adapt. Mm-hmm. The source suggests a structured checklist for new hires.
Taking them from maybe human-only coding first, yeah. then guided AI collaboration, and finally to more independent AI-assisted work.
Yeah, making sure they learn the guardrails, the sacred rule yeah. along the way.
Okay, so tying it all together, understanding the types of mistakes AI can make seems crucial. The source breaks them down into levels.
Right. Level one mistakes are annoying, but mostly harmless, like formatting screw-ups.
Okay.
Level two mistakes are expensive. They cost time and effort to fix. Things like breaking internal APIs, pulling in bad dependencies. Real problems.
And level three?
Those are the career-limiting ones we mentioned. Modifying testing correctly, introducing security holes, corrupting data. The really bad stuff.
And all these practices, the CLO, EDE.MD, anchor comments, get work trees, commit tags, especially humans writing tests, respecting that sacred ground.
They're all designed specifically to catch or prevent those damaging level two and level three mistakes. The stricter your guardrails need to be, the higher the potential damage from a mistake.
So the source makes it pretty clear that even though this AI integration stuff is still pretty new, maybe in its awkward adolescence, as they put it.
Yeah, it's evolving fast.
The tools are getting powerful quickly, yeah. and the direction seems clear. This is happening.
Absolutely. The core message from this material feels really pragmatic. Don't wait. Start now.
Don't wait for the perfect tool or process.
Right. Pick something small. Try implementing CLOEE.MD. Or anchor comments, use AI for one specific feature, and crucially, take absolute personal ownership of writing and reviewing the tests yourself.
So this deliberate, disciplined approach, it isn't just about coding faster, it's more about augmenting what humans do best, problem solving, creativity.
That's the argument. By adopting these practices, the source suggests you'll build better software faster, and you'll leave behind the people still trying to, you know, do everything manually.
Like trying to play every instrument in the orchestra yourself.
Exactly. The power of AI is undeniable now, and the patterns for actually using it effectively in real-world development are starting to solidify.
So I guess the final question for you listening is, with AI getting better and better at hitting the notes, are you going to learn how to conduct the whole orchestra? Or are you going to keep trying to play every single instrument yourself? What role do you want to play as this landscape keeps changing so fast?